One, two, three, this is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. We're officially in our summer session, and things are heating up here. I'm an author, psychologist, and teacher, and every week we talk about how to love yourself, others, and a higher power, and also how to improve your life and your relationships, your spirituality, your finances, career, and health. And today's topic, I think, is going to be very interesting to a lot of people. It is how to unleash your creative genius. The word creativity, we think of higher connections, putting things together in a new and different way, and coming up with new solutions for things. It could be an invention, an art, piece of music. And in fact, people think that creativity is something that is genetic, and it is to a certain extent, but people can also learn to be creative, or they can enhance their creativity. And it's not just about being artistic or scientific, but you can be creative in many ways. You can be a creative chef, a cook, a salesperson. The way you teach a child can be creative. 64% of people, however, say that they don't live up to their creative potential. They're not fulfilling their ideas as much as they want. And barriers to creativity are things like we get comfortable seeing things the same way. We become predictable in our thoughts and our feelings. Also, there's that critical inner voice that judges us that says, that will never work, or they'll think I'm foolish. So we need to surpass that and go beyond it. Because in reality, there are many benefits to being a creative person, a human being. First of all, you're happier when you're creative. Research shows that if you're creative once a day, you improve your mood, you lower depression, improve optimism and hope. You have a sense of pride and accomplishment. Maybe you learned a new recipe, or you created a new recipe, or a way to teach people, or a business, or some scientific or artistic creation. You have an expanded sense of time. Time goes slower when you spend time doing something that you love to do. A sense of freedom, and also even a loss of fear of death. People have less fear of death when they are creative because they know they can leave a legacy, something behind, whether it could be a book, could be a piece of art, maybe the way they treated people in a positive way, teaching others. So it is very amazing to see that you can leave a great legacy behind if you're a creative person. Now let's talk a little bit about the truths and the myths. A lot of things that people think about that may not be true about being a creative person. One idea is that the creative person is like a tortured genius, that they're maybe even bipolar, they can be depressed, even suicidal at times, and their life is a mess. But in reality, a lot of creative people are very happy. They have a great curiosity and inquisitiveness. They're driven and fascinated by their topic of interest, whatever it might be, science or business or psychology or whatever it is, and they want to learn more and they want to help people. Another fallacy is that you have to be a genius, for example, a very high IQ to be creative, and that's not really true. Even an average or above average person of IQ level can be very creative. In fact, sometimes they might have less innate talent, but they work harder. They have more fascination with their topic, and they're willing to put the time and energy to be a great person in it, to be a master of what they are learning. The one thing we do know about creative people is that they often are a paradox. They have different sides to their personalities. For example, they can be both playful and serious and disciplined. The playful part is the spontaneous part where you're like a child. You can put things together and have fun and enjoy things. In fact, they've seen that in groups of people that do what it's called brainstorming. People that laugh more in a group are more creative. They have more fun. At the same time, they can be disciplined. Sometimes creative people can be a little restless because they have a lot of ideas, but they're able to focus on that one idea they're working on, that one creation or invention or thing they're improving. The other paradox about the creative person is that they're realistic dreamers. They can daydream. And when you daydream, you generate what are called theta waves, which are the slow waves when you're relaxed, maybe in a meditative state or in a state of daydream. And they find that people who are in daydream state have more engaged minds. They lead to higher mental connections so they can come up with ideas. But at the same time, they can implement their ideas. They can have what are called beta waves, brain waves, which are more fast and also is when you're awake and focus on something. So that combination of being able to imagine something and then be able to actualize it is what we call creative. If you just sit there all day and daydream and don't do anything, you live in your parents' garage apartment and you want to be a great musician and you don't do anything, that's not going to work. So you need to actualize it. You need to go out and actually apply your talent or your creative energy. The other interesting thing is people often say, well, to be creative, you have to be introverted. You have to be a very private and even solitude kind of person. And to some extent, that's true. People who are creative need some solitude to be able to come up with inspirations and to maybe put their ideas down. But at the same time, people who are creative can be extroverted. They like to go out and see the world. They like to talk to people and learn from others. So they can be a combination, a little bit of both externally oriented and internally oriented. One thing about creative people is that they are sometimes proud, but proud can be a positive thing. Now, some people think they're arrogant, but really they just love their work. They're passionate about what they do. So they invest a lot of energy in it. It may not always be around people, but at the same time, they can be very humble because they appreciate those who came before them. Their predecessors who came up with great ideas, inventions, and theories that they are building upon. The other thing about creative people is that they can be traditional yet progressive. So they do look at the past and they respect the past, but they're also willing to change things and they're willing to take risks among everything else. In fact, they know that it's okay to fail. They realize that the quicker they fail, the quicker they will get to their final success. It is said that Edison, in inventing the modern light bulb, tried 10,000 different combinations until he found the right one. And he said he never failed because he was looking for that one that did work. The other thing about creative people is that they're passionate yet objective. They're passionate about their topic, what they love to think and do and write about. But they're also objective. They can critique themselves. They can edit themselves. They can see where they need to improve in terms of their ideas. Also, people who are creative are very observant. They can see the possibilities everywhere. They go out in the world and they're open to experience. They can travel. They can talk to different people. They can try different things and put everything together into one new whole. Also, people who are creative tend to have what's called post-traumatic growth. They can overcome trauma and actually use trauma as an educational experience. They can learn something from it. So problems can become solutions. I work a lot with trauma victims in my practice, and there's two kinds of people that have trauma in life. One are called the eggshell skull, and one is called the steel skull. Eggshell skull people get weaker with each trauma. Maybe they had abuse as a child, and then later on they have an accident or some traumatic event. And even if it's small, it triggers the past, so they actually have a weaker way to recover. On the other hand, some people are steel skull. They are stronger, they're more resilient, so they actually become stronger with each trauma. If you think about it, a lot of businesses start because there is a need, a problem, and they overcome that. There is an entrepreneur named Jan Kuhn who wanted to call to his native land of Ukraine, but he realized it's very expensive. So he thought, how do we make calling a lot cheaper for people? So he created the application called WhatsApp, which is one of the most popular phone applications in the world, used by over 1 billion people. To solve a problem, he came up with this idea. Also, people who are creative do well in beautiful, inspiring environments, sometimes in nature, or a quiet and relaxing place at home. And they are able to stimulate their mind because it's a very soothing place where they're at. The other thing we notice about creative people is that often they have parents that foster creativity and mind development in them as a young person. So if you have children, it's always good to read to your children or have them read to you, have them listen to music, talk about many things, stimulate their imagination and curiosity. And chances are they will also develop this creative part of them. The other thing about creative people is interesting is that they often see themselves as beginners in life. One thing that Socrates said, the great philosopher at the end of his life, is that I neither know nor think that I know. In other words, he was open to experience, open to learning. He didn't think that he knew everything. So people who are curious often ask a lot of questions. I tend to do that a lot. Sometimes people say I ask too many questions, but they often ask questions like what, why, and of course, why not? They're able to see things from a fresh perspective. The inventor MacCready, who invented the Condor, the first human-powered airplane to fly a mile or more, said that when he was trying to invent this human-powered airplane, he had to pretend that he had never seen an airplane before. He says, if you have too much knowledge of what didn't work, then you just don't try as many things. So sometimes we have to start from a very beginning. Look at things in a very fresh perspective. If you're stumped in a business problem or some life problem, take a trip somewhere and look at it in a different way. Talk to other people and see if you can have a different perspective. The other thing about creative people is that they're often what we call mind travelers. They can go in their mind different places. For example, they can go into the future, ask themselves, what will I be like in the future? What problems may I encounter? Or even society itself. What problems will society encounter that maybe I can help? I can come up with some ideas for. They can also put themselves in the mindset of other people, even great leaders. They can say, what would this person do? The spiritual leader, this business leader, science leader. What would Gandhi, Einstein, Edison do? Mother Teresa. And that gives another perspective of things. Also, many times creative people seek to teach and contribute. And that's when their creativity is released the most. They did a study where they had people draw alien figures from outer space and then told them to write a story about it. The problem was that sometimes they felt kind of on the spot and pressured and they weren't able to write a creative story. And then they had another set of subjects that were told to draw the alien figure from outer space, but then someone else would write the story. And they found that those people actually had more creative figures that they were able to draw because they had this desire to help other people. So oftentimes when you teach others and help others through your creativity, that enlightens other people and also releases your own creative energies. Now, this is very interesting now. So let's say that we want to be creative. Now, how do we become more creative? The first step is to realize that you can become more creative if you have the desire to do so. Think of it like a seed that's planted mentally inside you that tells you, I want to do more with ideas and creativity. And if you have that, chances are you can become more creative in the ways we're going to talk about. Now, some people will say, I don't really want to be creative. I don't really have that tendency. And these people are more what we call practical individuals, people who are more realistic and concrete and sensory. They see the world through their senses. And that can be perfectly fine. They can be people that love things related to everyday matters, administration, organizing things, dealing with the practical things of life. But other people do have that creative desire and they want to improve it. So first of all, realize that you can improve it. Number two, what is your prime time? When are you most creative? Some people are evening people. They like to work at midnight hours. Others are early in the morning. So whatever time it is, get up and start your creative work, whether it's writing things down, sketching, doing some kind of work that is creative, thinking of ideas. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's business. Also, every day, strive to do something creative. Now, it doesn't have to be doing a masterpiece or writing a great novel. It could be something small, maybe doodling a little bit, playing guitar, thinking of some designs you want to do for your interior of your house. So these are the kind of things that start to build that creative muscle, that creative habit where you start to do it every day. Another thing that you can do to be more creative is change your routines. Go to work a different way. Try a different restaurant. Talk to people you would not normally talk to. Maybe travel. It could be a short trip, maybe a longer trip. And when you do that, your perspective changes. You expose yourself to new ideas and new possibilities. Another way to develop creativity is to combine ideas. Maybe you like to read a lot in science. Maybe you can try literature or history or vice versa. So pick an area that's not normally your area, but start to look into it. Listen to YouTube videos, ebooks, and other areas that can be very interesting to you perhaps, or you never even thought about it. And you can also start to combine ideas from different disciplines. Here's one of my favorites, is to move your inspiration instead of waiting for your inspiration to move you. Now, I'm an author myself, and people often ask me, how do I overcome writer's block? Writer's block is when you can't write. There's something mentally that stops you from doing it. You feel frustrated. You can't put anything on paper. And they say, I'm waiting for inspiration. I said, well, if you wait for inspiration, you might be too old to even write because inspiration may not come. So my philosophy is to move the inspiration. In other words, do the hard, disciplined work. Set aside a time every day where you write, if it's writing or do your art or whatever creative task, for a 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day, or even 30 minutes, whatever time you have. But make it consistent, make it a schedule. And you'll find the more you do this and discipline yourself, you'll have more inspiration come to you. Inspiration only comes once you have the discipline to start it and make it come. And part of this is give yourself a deadline or timeline. If you want to write a novel, for example, you say, I'm going to write X number of words by a certain date, or I'm going to start a business by a certain time, or do something creative in a certain way. And this is going to give you kind of a motivation, kind of a drive to do things more intensely and put more energy into it. The famous children's author, Dr. Seuss, wrote a book called Green Eggs and Ham after his editor bet him that he couldn't write a book with 50 or fewer distinct words or different words. And he actually did it. He was able to accomplish that. It was a challenge that actually drove him to write a book. So it has only 50 different words in the book. And it's a good book. It's one of the best books that people like. Now, if you work hard, and the hard work is always good discipline, there are times when you need to take a break. So plan relaxation breaks. I love to do a bathtub or water. Maybe it's walking in nature, playing with animals or children, doing some kind of exercise, listening to music, something that can actually help you relax. And many times, many of your great inspirations come in the bathtub or the shower or when you're walking somewhere. You don't even think about it. It just comes to you, that intuition, that creativity. Another tip is to get a creativity buddy. Find someone who's also kind of creative or wants to be creative and brainstorm with each other. Talk about certain ideas and plans. One very excellent technique is called brain writing, where if you write ideas on paper and then pass it out to other people and they can add to it, this technique increases creativity by 28%. So you have kind of a group brainstorming in writing. Another thing that can help you be more creative is what we call mindfulness, is being aware of your thoughts and feelings and breath, perhaps through meditation or yoga or other techniques. And people that use mindfulness often have enhanced memory, more focus, and less stress. And as a result, they can be more creative. Their creativity is released. Something else that's very important in being creative is to increase your positive emotions. Research shows that sadness lowers creativity because people are fearful of making mistakes. They don't have the drive or motivation. So, for example, having a gratitude journal, something we talk about a lot. Write down three things you're grateful for every day, your life, your family, your talents, anything that you're grateful for. And that can increase your mood by 30%, your cheerfulness, optimism. And as a result, you feel more secure and more comfortable, and you can create more. Because creativity is often a function of how secure you feel, how comfortable emotionally you feel in a life situation or environment. And finally, find what we call the flow state. The psychologist Mihaly wrote a lot about this concept called flow, this state of total immersion in something that you love to do. There's what we call the runner's high, when runners start to run and then they lose track of time and self-consciousness and they have a joyful feeling. This flow state you can find in people that do music or exercise or art, being with loved ones in certain places, being in nature, and they have this amazing sense of ecstasy where everything stands still and they just flow with the moment. Now, to do this, you want to find something that you love to do and also have the ability to do. So you need a middle ground. If you love something, for example, cooking, but you're not very good at it, chances are it may be difficult for you to get into a flow state and contribute to other people. But of course, if you practice, you might become better. Or if you have the ability, but you don't have the love, that can be difficult because, again, you don't have that passion driving you. So find something that you love to do, have the ability to do. Maybe you can do music or some form of athletics, writing, science, poetry, business, interacting with people. Whatever it is that you love to do, and do it on a daily basis and see how much you can get into that flow state, that flow of being in this wonderful frame of mind where you lose track of time and your problems and your bills, and you're just in the moment, and it's a great state of joy. In reality, one of the greatest things that is creative is love, this thing, this loving energy we talk about, because there's so many ways to love people and express love, whether it's your friend, romantic partner, family members, people that you don't even know, expressing loving energy mentally, psychologically, and spiritually. Creativity can be an amazing part of your life. It doesn't have to mean that you're a great artist or scientist or poet, but just on a daily basis, the way you think about things differently. Solving small problems for other people, helping other people, whether it's your children, your family members, your friends or acquaintances. So creativity can be part of your DNA, part of what makes you a healthy and happy human being. So Love University listeners, today's assignment, homework. I know some people hate homework, but this is going to be fun homework. You're going to go out and develop your creativity muscles this week. Every day you're going to do something more creative. And that could be something as simple as doodling, drawing something, writing some ideas down, maybe lyrics to a song. Maybe if you're a cook, learning a new recipe, trying a new recipe, you want to redesign your house, think of ways you want to do that. Maybe teaching people, teaching your child something new in a different way, the way you discipline your child or interact with other people, or even your love partner, your romantic. More ways to be romantic. Think of some creative ways to show your love. And when you do this, you start to have more joy and more expression of who you are, and your ability to connect with people will increase manyfold. So good Love University students. If you have any questions or comments on today's show, or if you would like to be a guest on the show, contact us at loveuniversity.love. Email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. Call us at 310-226-8090. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're building a great following of people, a great community of Love University students. We're going to have more live events coming up in the near future. So definitely keep in tune to what we're doing and have a wonderful creative week full of love and energy. Until next time, put away your notepads, iPads, books, pens, and Love University is now dismissed.